Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Third and goal at the Patriot 9-yard line. Grossman in the shotgun. Grossman takes the snap. Back to throw. Steps up. Dumps it over the middle. It is intercepted! Hey! Through the hands of the Redskin and intercepted by the Patriots at the 7-yard line.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Four more days and probably 4 days and 5 minutes from now, they will kick off at in Denver. And I am here to tell you that I am on the verge of a nervous breakdown. It could happen today. And there are a lot of reasons for it. This is all related to sports, by the way, not real life. And I'm half joking, but I'm half serious. I can't take it. I just can't. I can't take the one-sidedness of the way the national media, for the most part, is portraying this game. It's embarrassing. As a media member, I am embarrassed for many of you who are in the national scene. It is incredible to me, but not totally unexpected. And by the way, I'm happy that you're keeping the Patriots out of the topic of conversation. Or when you do talk about them, it's just because they gave up points to Indianapolis and Washington last week. But I think it's great. That part I think is great. Don't talk about the Patriots. Leave them out of it, except for, you know, the praises of Brady, which that's kind of standard for everybody to do that. But I love it. I absolutely love it that they're doing that. What I just don't understand, as I was just talking to John on the crossover, why is the national media afraid to go look at these games, which I am going to about to do. I was going to do it yesterday. I'm going to do it today before we get to the emails because I have to get this off my chest. Why will they not break down these games and show you why, for the most part, this team has won football games? And Tim Tebow is about 35% of it. The 65% goes to the rest of the team, and 55% of it, for me, goes to their field goal kicker, who has been unbelievable. He's the one that should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, hitting a 59-yarder and a 51-yarder last week. Why is Tebow on the cover? And I would have put on the cover, I would have put Marion Barber on the cover, and the headline would have been idiot. Simply idiot. You know? And then underneath, maybe a little picture of Tebow smiling, and a little caption that says, Denver squeaks out another win due to another team's stupidity. What is the problem about... Why won't people talk about this stuff? I'm not saying everybody. There are some that refuse to talk about this stuff. It's all either divine inspiration or Tebow has got it and he's doing all these great things and... You got to be kidding me. He's done a few nice things. He's had a few nice moments. Let's just start. Start with the Miami game. Here we go. Let's start with that game. Okay? It's the first game, you know, he takes over. Miami's up 15-0, and they were winless at the time. Winless. Inept offense, but somehow, you know, because Tebow couldn't do crap in the game, the first 54 minutes of the game, couldn't do anything. 15-0 Miami lead, and because of their stupidity, Miami's stupidity, letting Denver back in that game. All right, fine. A team the Patriots clobbered, by the way, and they'll clobber them again when they play them here. Then they go to Detroit the next week, and they get completely embarrassed. Completely embarrassed from start to finish, 45-10. Oh! Next week, they go to Oakland. They go to Oakland and face a quarterback who just got traded, or just got signed from them, or traded to them from the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay? Palmer. The Raiders still, a guy who had like 5 days of practice total, has goes and gets them up by 10 points, but unfortunately throws three stupid, ridiculous interceptions, two of them which were horrible, horrible, that let the Broncos back in the game. Another team, by the way, the Patriots clobbered on the road. Maybe not win by 20, but they were in total command of that game from start to finish. Then the Broncos go to Kansas City. Oh, and Matt Castle was still starting then. This is the great 2-for-8 game by Tebow. They win 17-10 because Kansas City played like a bunch of drunken stiffs. Not saying they were drunk. They just played. That was as pathetic as it was. That wasn't even Tyler Palko. That was Matt Castle in that game. 17-10. That's the 2-for-8 Tebow. So, yeah, he really did a lot in that one. Rushed the ball, obviously, because he didn't throw it. He didn't throw his second pass, and it was a touchdown pass at the end. But, that, I mean, 17-10 in Kansas City, a team the Patriots won by 31, beat by 31. I mean, just absolutely inept offense, pathetic. Then they go and play the Jets on Thursday night, which we all remember what happened in that one. The Tebow, the Broncos win 17-13. Why? Because Sanchez sucked. And he sucked badly. Awful. That game given away. Given away by the Jets. Give the Broncos defense a tad bit of credit in that one, obviously. The pick six was huge. Yeah, Tebow had some nice plays in that drive at the end. But that game never, ever, ever in a million years should have come down to that. Never. That was pathetic. Again, the Jets, a team the Patriots have beaten twice, once by a pretty good margin, the second time clobbered them. Then we got North Turner and Phillip Rivers against San Diego. Again, another double-digit lead by San Diego. Again, between Rivers' ineptness, North Turner, who coached like crap in that game, as he has so many other times, and the fact that they couldn't make a field goal in overtime. So offense, defense, special teams, and a quarterback who played sporadic. I mean, completely in that game. You miss a field goal in overtime to win it, and Denver doesn't. Matthew Prater, again, bails him out. All right. Let's move on to Minnesota. Well, the Broncos, that great 2-8 team, puts up 32 points on that so-called very good Denver Broncos defense, which is another it's another ruse. Denver's defense is okay. It's not great. It's not even very good. They're at the bottom third in the league in points allowed. So they win. Ponder throws a pick six in that game. And then in overtime, what does he do? Throws another interception in overtime. And Prater bails him out again with a field goal. And we move on to the Bears next week, then the week after, last week. I rest my case. Barber can't stay in bounds and then fumbles in overtime. Bears up 10-0, should have ran the clock, could have run the clock out easily. I mean, just a disgrace. So if you're going to tell me that this really good Denver defense against Moore at Miami, Detroit, which clobbered them, so they lost by 35, they got crushed. Carson Palmer playing in his first game, who threw three picks. Matt Castle, who was about as horrible as a quarterback you can get in that game against Kansas City. The Jets, who Mark Sanchez threw a pick six and was terrible in that game. Awful. Phillip Rivers, a combination of Phillip Rivers, missed field goal on special teams, and the ineptness of coaching of North Turner. Ridiculous. Ponder sucked. Put up 300 yards against Denver's defense, but it really counted suck. Threw a pick six in that game, and also had a bad interception in overtime. And then you get the Bears, who, you know, one player cost them the game. It's real simple. Barber cost them the game because he had a brain fart. Two of them. And you're going to sit there, and you're going to tell me that somehow, divine inspiration, no, whatever. It is ridiculous. If this guy's last name wasn't Tebow, it would be It would be. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the guy who would. It should be upset about it is Dilfer. And those of you who don't remember, in 2000, there was a game, a 4 or 5 game stretch, where the Ravens did not score a touchdown. Go back and look it up. In 2000, when they beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, there was like a 5 game stretch where the Ravens did not score a touchdown. But guess what? I think they went 5-0 in those games. They went 5-0. This whole thing has become absolutely ridiculous. National media is afraid to sit there and break down these games from start to finish and really show why this Denver team has been in position to win the games. And it has not been, for the most part, because of Tebow. It has been because their field goal kicker has kicked tying and game-winning field goals out of his mind, almost like Vinatieri in this stretch. He's missed a couple here and there, but he has been clutch every time they've needed it. And because the quarterbacks that they faced have sucked. And the one team that was good, they lost by 35. So where is this crap coming from? What is the matter with some of you in the national media? Some fans out there. And you really think this Denver defense is going to stop the Patriots? And please spare me, in the past. I don't care about Brady's record. These are totally different circumstances, totally different thing. They hopped on it last week about the Patriots never winning in Washington, D.C. either. It's a lot of crap. Throw those numbers out the window. They mean nothing. Look at this game this week against this particular team. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Denver Broncos are going to be in serious, serious trouble. I'm not saying the Patriots are going to win 45-0 or anything like that. But the Patriots are going to win this game. I swear to God, I wish there was a way I could put it out there. I take the entire planet out to the biggest brunch you've ever seen if the Patriots don't win this game by double digits. I will be absolutely stone-cold shocked if, when it's all said and done, the Patriots don't win this game by at least 10 points. And I think it's going to be more. More on the scores tomorrow. But I don't know how any of these analysts can go in there and look at these games and look how the Broncos have won and come to the conclusion that this is basically all Tebow. I know some are saying, I've heard that word, great Bronco defense. You got to be bleeping me. You got to be bleeping me. Look at the offense that they have gone against and the quarterbacks who have absolutely sucked. And Ponder, who was one of the worst ones they went up against, the 2-18, have put up the most yards on him, over 300 yards, and put up 32 points. Well, I shouldn't say that because it was a pick six in the game. 26 points. But through the key pick in overtime, the guy who should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week for the Broncos is Prater. He's the one that has bailed this sorry-ass team out in Denver. And this guy, if anybody was quarterbacking anybody else on the planet but Tebow, it would just be one of the, I'm telling you, Prater would be getting all the accolades, and so would a couple of guys on defense for the Broncos, who, by the way, are banged up again today. And, of course, we all know about the Patriots woes, and Chung didn't play today. See if we can get the injury report, too, Kev. Well, it should be out. But I can tell you this, is that Andre Goodman didn't practice today, the starting cornerback, and the strong safety, Brian Dawkins, didn't practice today. So please, please, I'm asking everybody to really go back and think and look at what the hell has happened here with the Broncos in these last 8 games. The one decent team they played on the road, they got their asses kicked. And I mean badly. By Detroit. And I'm not saying the Patriots win 45-10. But I'm just telling you, I am being a realist here. And the reality is that Prater and a couple of pick sixes are the reason why this Denver team is where they are. Tebow, yes, I can't sit here and say he has nothing to do. Of course he has something to do with it. He has made some plays here and there, but he is not the one, as the great legendary Jimmy Valvano used to say when he was coaching NC State, used to say, if you put your team in position to win, yeah, he has not been the one to put his team in position to win. The defense has, and a couple of pick sixes, and their field goal kicker has. That's why, for the majority of their wins. Yeah, he's made a pass here or there. Yeah, he's made a rush here or there. But the majority of the reason why Denver is winning games is not because of Tim Tebow. And then I hear jackass number one and jackass number two, Cordell Stewart and Jerome Bettis this morning on ESPN. Now, why, as they're analyzing the Patriots-Broncos game, why in the hell would anybody who's ever followed the Patriots listen to what those two bozos have to say about the Patriots? They never beat them when it counted. All right, I'll give them the 7-6 game back, in, you know, and that was a game that they could have lost. But Cordell Stewart lost to Bledsoe, and, you know, who could ever forget the bomb to Terry Glenn that year in 95? And then in 2001, the Patriots kicked their butt again in all three phases of the game, and Brady didn't even play half, most of the game. Despite five straight three and outs by Bledsoe in the second half and a near pick as he tried to throw it over his head to J.R. Redmond, the Patriots still won the AFC Championship and then went on to beat the Super Bowl. Why would I give a rat's ass what Cordell Stewart, why on ESPN would you have Cordell Stewart and Jerome Bettis sitting across from each other talking about the Patriots in any way, shape, or form? No agendas there. No agendas there at all. I mean, it is unbelievable. Well, and what they should have done was had Teddy Bruschi there. They should have Teddy Bruschi with Bettis or Cordell Stewart. I mean, it is just, it is unbelievable.
These things really are huge.
But it's the national media is afraid to dig deep into these games and show people exactly why Denver's winning, because there's so many pink hat idiots out there that are going to watch their first football game ever, and there's so many people out there that have one jersey, a Tebow jersey, have never seen a football game start to finish in their life. They'll watch their first football game ever come Sunday afternoon. But because it's Tebow at quarterback, if it was Joe Schmo at quarterback with those numbers, with the way those offenses they've gone up against, nobody would give a rat's ass. It's just unbelievable. And I don't blame Tim Tebow. This is not hating on Tebow. This is hating on the national media for building this guy up to take a very, very severe fall. It's going to happen this weekend. And I'm telling you, I still don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback next year, and I still don't think he's going to be with the Broncos next year. I still say they're going to draft the quarterback when it's all said and done. Why are people afraid to look inside the numbers deep? Why are they just scratching the surface with Tebow instead of looking at the entire big picture? Puke-inducing. Puke-inducing. Yeah, the fourth quarter numbers have been there. You know why? For the most part, because the other team's quarterbacks have sucked and put them in position to win. And teams had chances to close this team out. But because of their mediocre to piss-poor quarterbacks and piss-poor coaching is the reason why. Don't anybody sit there and tell me about this great Denver defense or even very good Denver defense, because it isn't. They're near the bottom of the league in points allowed. By the way, the Patriots are 13th, ahead of Green Bay, by the way, in points allowed, just to throw that out there, even despite the last two weeks. Still 13th, and still ahead of Green Bay in points allowed. I'm tired of it. I'm tired, and it's not totally unexpected. I expected the national media to cave and not do their jobs, and they are just not looking into, they're not looking deep enough. And I'm going to say it all day long. The guy who should be on the front cover of the Sports Illustrated should be the field goal kicker Prater. He should be one of the unsung heroes of the and he's the one that deserves a lot of this credit. That guy, without him, without the field goals that guy has made, they lose to San Diego. They lose to the Jet game with Sanchez. They lose to Minnesota. They lose to the Bears. There's at least three losses there that if Prater misses a field goal, they lose. Unbelievable. Miami as well. It's just unbelievable how people refuse to dig deeper and just scratching the surface with this Denver team. I have not. I've looked at everything, and I am telling you, I'm going to say it here. I did this last year. I did my Roy Schneider last year with the Jaws thing when I said, you know, that's a shark out there. And I know because I've seen one up close. And you better do something about this one because I don't tend to go through that hell again. And I'm telling you right now, Denver Broncos are going to be in trouble on Sunday. When it's all said and done, book it. Double-digit win by the Patriots. Mark it down. Seal it. Send it away. Miami, Detroit, clobbered. Oakland, Carson Palmer, first game, sucked, three interceptions. Kansas City, please, Matt Castle, horrible game. Jets, Sanchez, sucked. San Diego, misses a field goal, could have won the game. Turner can't coach. Rivers sucked in that game. More picks. Ponder in the Minnesota game, puts up 26. The defense scored another pick six for Minnesota. And still, dumbass Ponder throws an interception in overtime. Prater bails him out again. The Bears game, Barber has two brain farts. Come on. Come on, man. I'd be like, come on, man, / Mike Ditka. Stop it. I am fired up. Bring it on today, baby. Bring it on. And again, this is not, I'm not sitting here to, I think Tebow is, as a media person, as a fan, I think it's, the hype is great. I mean, the hype is, you know, great for the, I think the overhype of the Broncos is pathetic, but I, as a Patriot guy, I like it that way. I like it when nobody's giving them a chance or giving them credit. Not saying that people aren't giving them a chance, but a lot of people are not. I mean, it's great. It's great for the game. I think Tebow's a good guy. Great for the game. The religious stuff. Yeah, I wish he did more of it in private. For the most part, I don't give a crap. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. Not affect my judgment. He's a good guy. Came from a good upbringing. All that. It's not anything about all that stuff. It's about the national media. They are setting this guy up. And when he goes down, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, in sports, you find out what your team is all about when you start to lose. And the Patriots, we've known over the years, don't lose a lot of games. And when they do, they come back fighting. They've won five in a row since back-to-back loss. If they scored more points on average the last five games than they did the first five games of the season, go look it up. I did. Don't see that stat anywhere, too, do you? No. Because people don't look at it that way. They have averaged more points the last 5 weeks. After when they lost back-to-back games, people said they weren't going to be able to score again. And I kept telling people, sat here and saying, look at the defense that they have played. Look at the situation in a couple of games, different situations, and look at the schedule, who they have coming up next. And I said, then they were going to run the table. They're going to run the table. They're going to average over, they've averaged 35 points a game, or just about 34.7 points a game, like in the last five. More so than they did in the first five of the games, which included a 4-1 record, as opposed to 5-0. So, once again, I'm looking at the big picture. National media looking at a small a small portion of it. And unfortunately, when this guy goes down, we'll see in the NFL. We'll see what he's made of then. Let's see if the Broncos rally around him once they go into a little losing streak, which is going to start this week. Then we'll see what happens. And all I can tell you is this. I mean, they're lucky in a way that when they lost to Detroit, the way things panned it out for them on the schedule. They got Carson Palmer, who hadn't played. They got Matt Castle, who was awful. They got Mark Sanchez, who gave that game away almost single-handedly for the Jets. Everybody knows it. You had Phillip Rivers, who then, when they were really struggling, playing like caca, and North Turner, who can't coach for crap for the most part. And you got field goal kickers missing field goals for the Chargers. And then you have Ponder. I mean, please, a 2-8 team. And then the Bears. I mean, just look into it deeper. Prater, Sports Illustrated, should have been there. Or Barber on the cover. Headline, idiot. Idiot fuels Denver win. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to the phone calls. The lines are jammed, and we got a lot of emails to read, too. But there's one email I have to, we'll read it after. Kevin, you're going to have to reset this afterwards, but I'm going to get to the phones first. Again, email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Let's go to Sean in Philadelphia. Thanks for hanging on, Sean. You're up first here on the Pete Shepard Show. What's up, my friend?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I totally agree with you, man. I think the New England, they will win by 45-10.
Well, I'm not saying 45-10. I'm saying I think the Broncos will probably score at least 20 in this game, but the Patriots are going to come close to doubling it. I find it hard to believe how Denver is going to be able to stop the Patriots. I don't see it at all.
And the second thing, I'm just so freaking sick or tired of these people on the ESPN and the NFL Network talking about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, man, they got me sick.
But do you agree with me? Does it make any sense for ESPN to have Cordell Stewart and Jerome Bettis on this morning having a debate about the Patriots and the trying to have an objective debate, a debate about the Patriots and the Broncos? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous to have those two on. How, you're never going to get a fair and impartial person to come on for two Pittsburgh Steelers fans who lost in two AFC championship games to the Patriots to be fair and objective. It's crazy.
Yeah. And he's not even a quarterback, man. I can't even stand that guy. He's a straight-up punk, man. He's not even a quarterback.
Well, I mean, look, he got the team to the AFC Championship twice. They lost.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of people probably won't agree with me, but I still think Brady's going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know.
Well, they're going to have a great shot.
Yeah.
They're going to have a great shot. I think they're going to get there. Hopefully, let's see how it goes here with the home field advantage and how everything plays out. But there's a long way to go. There's a whole month of football left, so I'm not sitting here counting my chickens before they hatch. But I think they'll run the table, and they'll be a one or two seed. And their defense, hopefully, can just play decent in one of those playoff games. They don't have to be play great, just play decent. And the offense should do the rest. So we'll see.
All right, buddy. Thanks
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Email me at webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Here's Anthony in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Anthony.
How are you?
What's up, man?
Nothing. Just getting my study on.
You got to take me off speakerphone. Hello? Are you on speakerphone?
You should be off now.
All right. Sounds like you're on speakerphone, but go ahead.
Here, let me see.
Da 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 da. Yeah, well, I knew that was going to happen. He wasn't off speakerphone. I'm doing this a long time. Trust me. Call back though, Anthony and Reno. We'll get you back on. Manny's in Miami, Florida. Manny.
Hey, P. How you doing, man?
Good, man. What's up,
bro? I cannot agree with you 100%, bro. Let's look at these games, all right, man? At Miami, he throws 161 passing yards. How do they win? Because the Dolphins' defense sucks, number one, and because the field goal kicker, I believe, kicked a 50-yard field goal and won, right?
Yep.
All right. Game number two, Detroit kills them.
Clobbered them.
Too big for touchdown.
Clobbered them. Yep.
Exactly. Game number three, Oakland, okay, he throws 124 yards, but why isn't nobody talking about Willis McGahee rushing 163 yards?
That's what I said. Not only Willis McGahee, but Carson Palmer's first game, and they had a 24-14 lead. The Raiders did. That's the scary part. He throws three interceptions, Palmer does.
Unbelievable. And then the following game, Tim Tebow. Throws for 69 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
2 for 8. And against Matt Castle, who, believe it or not, looked worse, even though he completed a few more passes. But Matt Castle was so inept in that game. It was embarrassing.
And then the next game, the New York Jets.
The Jets.
Had the perfect game plan for three and a half quarters. Up to 5 minutes to go, and they blew it.
Sanchez
was a savior because, you know, the Jets did an all-out blitz, and he outran, you know, Eric Smith.
But even before that, though, Sanchez throws a pick six on a horrible, horrible pass, you know.
That is Mark Sanchez. I mean,
it is, but it just, I mean, you know, to give a game away like that the way they gave it away, It was embarrassing because they had the Jets had no business losing that game. And then, like I said, you go to San Diego and Phillip Rivers, you go back and look at the highlights of that game. They had a missed field goal in that game. The Chargers
exactly.
did.
They missed two field goals to win it.
Novak, I think, right?
About that, but his 143 yards passing and his great fourth and one and third and whatever efforts are so magical, and thank you, Jesus, for that one.
Yeah.
Then the following game, Minnesota Vikings have a rookie quarterback that throws a terrible interception in zone double coverage.
That's right.
But nobody
in overtime. In overtime. And that's and before that, early in the game, the Broncos had a pick six in that game as well.
And why is there nobody talking about how the Bears gave it away? How they fumbled.
We are.
How
I
they
am.
Went out of bounds.
Of course.
You're kidding me.
Of course. To me, they are two plays. They are basically five plays away for being, having five losses in those games. If it wasn't for the stupidity of the other team's offense and the lack of field goals by the other team, and thank God, like I said, Prater has been so clutch for them. Prater has missed, has hit every single clutch field goal they have needed, most and a lot of them from 50 yards plus.
Man, Pete, I hope the Patriots go there, bro, kick their ass, man. ESPN stuff. Because right now, they're all, I swear to God, ever since the game ended, they had Tom Jackson talking with Chris Berman, and they had like a full hour of, Tim Tebow. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, well, of course Tom Jackson, because he's from Denver. I think he played there. He's just talking about it. And I'm like, dude, can we go to the other part of the game? Like, why aren't you talking about the miscues that Chicago had? Listen, I understand Tim Tebow, threw passes that were completed, that were clutch.
He made some plays.
He's talking about when the defensive backs, they started playing 10 yards back and not printing coverage, and then they start blitzing all of a sudden. Nobody's talking about
Nobody is. It's strictly about one man.
It's
for the most part, it's about one man, and they're just not looking into the reality of the situations here.
Last time I checked, it's a 53-man roster, not just one guy. Last time I checked.
That's right.
All right,
Manny. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
As always, bro. Love you, buddy.
Thanks, man. Love you, too. Take care. And let's see. Let's read some of these emails. And Gene says, Gene makes a good point, yes. And I forgot to bring this up. Castle was knocked out of that game in the Detroit. And that's when Tyler Palco came in and finished. And Gene goes on to say Denver would have lost. And maybe they would have. When I turn on ESPN, NFL, a network, I have no problem with Cordell Stewart. When he opens his mouth, I tap the mute button. Works great for me. Why aggravate yourself? I'm concerned about our running game. Danny seems like the only one running well right now. Andy was saying our success in the run game has been based off play action or deception, not straight ahead power running, and it concerns him. I think there's some truth to that. But also, the thing is with that is, like I said, back in the Indianapolis game, I have to believe that it was a playoff game that Bill would have called different plays. There's no way up 28 points he goes shotgun and throws three straight passes unless they were trying to work on some different things that you might see later on in the year in the playoffs. Otherwise, no way Bill Belichick is going to call three shotgun and they end up going three and out in a row against one of the worst run defenses in the league. So I just think you're going to take into situation the circumstances, the team they were playing, how many points they were ahead by, that kind of stuff. He also said, when defense knows we want to run to kill the clock, or if you get into a bad weather game in the playoffs. Now, that's the other misnomer. Now, I don't know why anybody around here talks about bad weather or not being able to run. This team plays great in bad weather. They're undefeated in snow games. Brady loves to throw in the snow. He's had countless games over 300 yards in the snow. I'm not worried about that. And they've had plenty of times in when they've been able to kill the clock and run the ball out. And I've said it many times. One of the two best games Lawrence Maroney ever had was against Jacksonville and against San Diego in the second round game the Patriots had here in the AFC Championship, where Maroney and the offensive line, especially the San Diego game, just single-handedly ran out the clock like 9 minutes and 12 seconds. So I'm not too worried about that. We'll see. Another consequence of this is by not making the run game work, we have no idea how our young running backs will perform. What do you think, Pete? I'm not worried about the young running backs. I think the opportunity is there. If the passing game is going well, their passes always set up the run. Like I said, the Philadelphia game is a perfect example where they were struggling a little bit, and all of a sudden the law firm started getting some yards on back-to-back play, sets up the play action, and bam, they hit Welker with a huge score. Now, this is a funny. Now, remember the email I read yesterday? Then we're going to take a quick break, and I'll come back. I'll get to Anthony and Reno Nevada before I take a break. But remember the guy yesterday, Danny, who I read the email, and this is this is why, you know, and yeah, maybe I got carried away because remember I said he was mentally challenged and the way he was so over the top, crazy, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, he writes his a different email today. Danny says, "Hey Pete, this is Danny, the mentally challenged emailer. Thanks for reading my email. The reason I wanted to write back is to tell you I'm a diehard Pat fan, even have a logo tattooed on my arm. The reason I had to write that was because I lost a bet to a buddy who was a Denver fan. I lost, obviously, and I had to write you and bash my team. I'm a believer, and I know we have a lot of amazing, talented players and the best coach. I also wanted to say if I sounded stupid, it's because this is where I feel, if this is true. Again, you know, people write things I don't know. I'm going to take you at your word, Danny. I really hope you're not playing around because this is very serious. It's because I have a brain tumor, he says, and I'm dying of cancer. So that's why sometimes I don't know how to write good," which that stuff I was just kidding because we all make typos doing email. "But I wanted to tell you I was in the hospital. I listened to your show. I wish it was on more. You should look into that. One day I plan on coming to your great stadium, and maybe we can throw back a few. Ha-ha. Happy holidays to you and your family, Danny, the mentally challenged fan." Danny, my man, you come to Foxborough. You let me know. I'll take you out. Dinner, drinks, everything's on me. You let me know. That's a promise. And thoughts and prayers with you. I hope you're not kidding around about that stuff. I have a feeling you're not because I take that stuff, very seriously. I mean, this other stuff, even with Tebow, everything is just – it's all fodder. It's nice. But get well, my friend, and hopefully you get to Foxborough and we can get to see you. All right, let's go to try Anthony and Reno again. Hey, Anthony.
How you been?
Hey, there you go. How you doing?
Great. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It happens.
Hey, calm down, man. You're over there going off on the deep end.
Hey, it's all about entertainment. I'm not going off the deep end. I'm in the shallow end. I'm trying to bring people who have gone off into the deep end. I'm trying to bring them back to reality, man.
Yeah, I was just, I've been listening to a lot of Will Fox's interviews, on the Locker Room Uncut.
Sure.
Things on the internet. And, it seems like he's saying, we know something about our defense that nobody else knows, and we're gonna turn on the switch and just play better than anybody thinks we can play on defense. It's sort of like the Lakers last year, and they're like, things. We're going to turn it on one day, and we're going to win another championship, and it just never happened, but I have a problem with that.
Well, look, I mean, this defense has shown flashes of time, particularly against the run. They've been pretty good. It's a very good against the run. Last week was an exception. But they've been pretty good against the run for the most part, one of the better teams in the NFL. The secondary, I mean, there's no – you can't really defend it because they've had spurt. You have McCourty who makes a couple of plays in the fourth quarter, but you can't deny how many times he's been torched. I know he's not 100% healthy. We talked about this yesterday. You know, guys like him, guys like Arrington, Chung is out, so that hurts a lot. But you've got to make tackles. A guy like Adeable last week who flies by the receiver and doesn't make the tackle on that trick gimmick play, those are the kind of plays the Patriots stop, and they've been holding teams to field goals in this situation, that situation, as opposed to touchdowns. So even though the pass was completed, I think as a Patriots fan, you might have felt pretty confident that Washington might have been held to a field goal there instead of a touchdown. But I don't know what to expect. I know Will Fork and Carr, I think we'll be able to get some pressure this week. I really do. I think that Tebow is going to have to seriously think about throwing the ball a lot, and he should. The question is whether they will do it. That's going to be the chess match of this game, is how John Fox approaches this game with Tebow. Does he let him throw the ball? Does he turn him loose against the Patriots secondary, which we all know has been vulnerable? Does he have confidence enough? Does he have the confidence in Tebow that Garrett did not have in Tony Romo with throwing the ball? That is going to be, to me, the big question of the game. Because if they run the ball 25 times, the Broncos, I think they'll be in serious trouble. And if they go a bunch of three and outs early in this game, I think the Broncos will be in serious trouble. You can't give Brady extra opportunities at all to put up points in this game. And the Broncos have not seen anything, well, except when they went to Green Bay and got killed by 26 before Tebow took over. They haven't seen anything like this offense. And it's been about eight. And Tebow's
three and out and get Brady plenty of opportunities. He's going to capitalize on them eventually, you know, especially how we have Gronkowski, and they're going to have to, the linebackers are going to have to be occupied with him, jamming him or covering him, and they may not get as much pressure as their defense is used to, and Brady isn't going to make as much mistakes as other quarterbacks.
No, usually not. Usually that's not the case. And even when he does make big mistakes, and we saw four of them in the Buffalo game, it still took the Bills everything they had to win that game by three, and that was week four of the season, and now the Bills have, you know, I don't know if they won one game since, as I thought they would. So, you know, I think in the Patriots in December, they're awfully tough to beat.
Yeah, one more thing.
Yeah.
I was watching ESPN, and I was watching Chris Carter and the other idiot that thinks he's a great wide receiver, Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
Even though he did nothing almost in the NFL, he's talking like, oh, we can go put our shoes on. And
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you did nothing in that. I mean, he played for a long time, but it's not like we think of him being the greatest quarterback. Now, Chris Carter, on the other hand, you know, yeah.
He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, yeah. Keyshawn had his moments, too, and Keyshawn was also one of the one of the best blocking wide receivers ever. He was a great blocking wide receiver. But, Keyshawn, for the most part, I know he has a ton of respect for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and he almost came here a few years ago, but lately it's just been, again, they are focusing too much on net yardage, and I seriously wonder how much actual game film these guys really watch. I don't think they watch a lot. I really don't. I think it's all based on flash over substance and their own little highlight reels, and they see the net yardage, and they don't actually watch the games and how they play out. I really believe that.
Putting on segments that are going to make the argument stronger.
You look at yesterday, just on, and again, as I said, Harrison being suspended yesterday, and Hannah Storm is sitting there trying to bail out Herm Edwards, who said breastplate 10 times in about 25 seconds at trying to defend Harrison's helmet-to-helmet, clear helmet-to-helmet on McCoy. I mean, it was as plain as day. It wasn't controversial like the Fletcher hit on Brady, the Carter, and the Wilfork hits. Those were all iffy at best. The Harrison hit on McCoy was blatant helmet to helmet. And I don't care what his intent was. We can all talk about intent. The fact is he hit him helmet to helmet. And then slowing it down frame by frame, and poor Hannah Storm is trying to bail out Herm Edwards' sorry ass, and all he kept saying, but see, he's going for the breastplate. Going for the breastplate. Going for the breastplate. I don't care what he went for. He hit him helmet to helmet. And then you got Mike Holmgren coming out today saying they didn't even check him for a concussion. What? I mean, but that's the kind of mentality you're dealing with at ESPN with some of these guys. So how can they possibly take any of these analysts seriously when they start analyzing a game when something so blatantly obvious as a Harrison to McCoy helmet to helmet hit, and this guy's talking about breastplates. Come on.
Yeah, it's just the lack of them, you know, having good arguments and just in media and using segments of video to just make their arguments stronger. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. All right, Anthony, I'll keep you entertained. I'm telling you, I'm fired up. I'm tired of it. You know, it's ridiculous. Can ESPN simulcast me? I'll show you the reality of the situation. How all your freaking analysts are frauds for the most part. They will not delve into the depth of this Denver Bronco team because they're scared and they're in cahoots with the NFL and, you know, they don't want to piss anybody off. Ridiculous. Let me take a quick break. Before that, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Let's see, this is a good email. Let me just get to this real quick. Hi, Pete and Matt, Kevin, or Matt. Based on Yahoo Sports stats, we are 14th in scoring defense for four quarters, and 32nd in yardage given up. I actually think they're 13th. If you disregard garbage time points in the fourth quarter, we are not so bad, actually 5th in points allowed for the first three quarters this season. First is the 49ers, second is the Ravens, third is the Steelers, fourth is the Texans, Patriots are 5th, Titans 6th, Bears 7th, Jets 8th, Bengals 9th, Falcons 10th. By the way, the Patriots and Jets are virtually tied in points allowed, just so you know that too. So, there's just so much more to the NFL. There's so much more to teams. than just the obvious. You really, really have to. You got to do more research. You got to do more homework in this business. You can't just see a couple of plays here and there and then make a judgment. You got to delve deeper. All right, injury report real quick. Patrick Chung, Sebastian Vollmer did not participate. The rest all limited. Arrington, Brady, Deion Branch. By the way, Brady's limited was not injury-related. Let's make that clear because it says it right here. Branch, Connolly, Edelman, Fletcher, Hideabel, McCourty, Slater, Spikes, Vereen, Welker, Wendell, Wilfork, Woodhead. And by, let me just say this, too, real quick. Shout out to Nick McDonald. You know, this is another thing no one's talking about. Nick McDonald. Yeah, I know some of you guys are going, who? Yeah, the guy who was at center a lot last week. And once again, for the most part, they didn't really miss a beat. Yeah, I know the running game wasn't there, but again, it's against certain situations, and you know, Woodhead was pretty good. Ben Jarvis, it's just they didn't have a lot of opportunities either. That was a weird kind of a game, but certainly the offense still put up plenty of points. But Nick McDonald's at center, your third string. Go back and look at the Jets when they had a third string center or a second string center. Not too good, was it? All right, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Lots more to get to in the second hour of the Pete Shepard Show coming up here on patriots.com.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
isn't it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Julian Edelman, return man. Matthew Slater, return man. They've been playing safety since the start of the season, regular season. They've released 11 guys on defense. Lee Potter, Darius Butler, Gerard Warren, Albert Hainsworth, late preseason cut starting safety, Merriweather and Sanders. I mean, he's still tinkering. It's a loud and bold. What was that, Tom?
I got shoes in the car. Me and Keith are Slater and Edelman. Smash that up.
Right now. Five years removed from the game.
Grow
right
up.
I go out there and don't play with me like
stop.
That.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'd say that to Belichick's face if they were here in the locker room. That's what I love. You know, I love it. You know what? Again, going back to what the emailer just wrote about the Patriots defense allowing points allowed in the first three quarters, and then going back about, 14th in points allowed, despite the last couple of weeks, still defensively in points allowed ahead of some other teams that, if you just go look it up, tied with the head of the Jets, head of Green Bay, or right there with the Jets. And, you know, it's just so much deeper. Yeah. I know it's been ugly at times. We all know it's been ugly at times at the secondary. But it just goes much deeper than because Indianapolis put up a couple of some garbage touchdowns late and Washington. Still a win on the road. And the other thing that no one's talking about is, do you really think this Denver defense is better than Washington's? Does anybody really believe that? I don't. No, I don't. I know Washington was out there safety last week. By the way, for the Broncos today, Dawkins and Goodman, safety and quarterback and all, and Bruton didn't practice. Eddie Royal was limited. So, Christopher Price from WEI.com is coming up in just a little bit. Until then, I'll get through some of these emails as well. Let's see. Josh says, Pete, you're killing it today. Love it. As long as you're not trying to tell me how this defense does not suck. I love your rants. Keep it coming. Patriots this weekend, 41-24. As I was saying in my email to Rook, I had front row seats for Sunday's game. It was great. I was about 10 feet from Gaffney jumping into the stands and no one catching him. Hilarious. Sucks. I probably have to wait another 7 years to have the Patriots come back to town. Going to have to hit the road, I guess. No, I'm not going to tell you, say this defense. I'm going to tell you that in points allowed, they're 14th. That's what I'm going to tell you. Yeah, net yardage, yes, they look awful. But if you just looked at points allowed, Tell me how you feel. If net yardage stats didn't come into play and you just read the numbers, tell me how you feel about it. Tell me how you feel about it. Noel in Denver says, ESPN now discussing who we want in your two-minute drill, Brady or Tebow. Are you kidding me? This lady just said on the Denver 104.3, the Fan Sports Radio, I just absolutely love how the nation has embraced Tim Tebow. This lady probably has never watched a game in her life. I walked into the 24-hour fitness here in Denver, and no one will look at me in the eyes. Deep down, the real football fan knows, hungry for John Elway, that is why they are so split here in Denver. I'll remain PC about his faith. Merry Christmas, Noel in Denver. Is Chris ready to go? Okay, cool. Again, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Later on, I got lots of emails, lots of Facebook messages to get to, and I promise I will get to them. Let's join WEI.com's Christopher Price. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Pete. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all. It's a big week. It's a compelling week down here in Foxborough, and I'm excited for it. It's Tebow time.
Yeah, please. Don't make me throw up. Please don't say don't use that for anything else. You know what? You know what to me it is? I told Rook this in the crossover, and I'm going to say they got the wrong guy on the cover of Sports Illustrated with this week. It should be the field goal kicker, Prater. He should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated because without him, they'd have four losses. It's unbelievable. Yeah. That's the guy who's the MVP.
That's a great point. I mean, this is, and they've been talking about this all week down here, that it's more than just Tebow. If you stop at Tebow, you're really shorting what, you know, at least on paper is a pretty good team. You talk about the kicker, Matt Prater, he's had a great year, those big field goals down the stretch. You're getting great contributions from this team on the defensive side of the ball. Willis McGahee is having an unbelievable year at this stage of his career. Everyone pretty much wrote him off. He's running the ball really well. So, you know, guys like Von Miller, Elvis Dumervil, those are guys who really make this team something special.
Well, they make something special against Miami, Detroit. They got their asses kicked. Oakland, when Parmer first came into the game, blew a 10-point lead, throw three picks. Taylor Palco has to come in for Kansas City because Matt Castle, you know, busted his hand. He sucked. Sanchez gives that game away with a pick six. San Diego with Rivers, who was totally inept in that game. Not to mention North Turner's botching coaching again, and the fact that Novak missed the field goals. Minnesota's Ponder throws a pick six and then gives up a horrible interception in the fourth quarter. And Mary and Barber brain farts the game away last week. I mean, if you just look deep down into every single one of these games, please spare me that all of a sudden, that if this was any quarterback but Tim Tebow winning games like this, no one would give it a second thought. But because it's that guy and his reputation, all of a sudden he's just, and I feel bad for him. I'm not ripping on him because I feel bad because when he goes down, and you always learn more about, as you know, Chris, more about teams and players when things are going badly than when they're going good. I hope this guy has the mentality to handle it because I'm going to tell you that it's going to be a tough one for the Broncos this week. I think they're going to be in some trouble here.
I think it's going to be a really interesting game. You know as well as I do that going out to Denver for any Patriots team, doesn't matter the year, doesn't matter the game, doesn't matter the opponent, it's a tough game for them. Whenever they go out there, whenever they meet the Broncos, something about playing in that mile high air, it's not so much the air, but just, you know, getting out there, it's a tough place to play. They got a great home field advantage. I'm not going to say it's going to be a tight game, it's going to be a blowout. I mean, the Patriots should win this thing, quite frankly, but I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's necessarily going to be, you know, a walkover for New England. The thing about Tebow for me, that really stands out for me the most, is the fact that his guys want to play hard for him. And really, that's the thing for me that stands out the most. And that is a quarterback. I mean, that's like three quarters of the deal right there. If you get your guys on your side, if you get your guys wanting to play hard for you, if you get your guys wanting to succeed for you, particularly that offensive line, more often than not, if you have even an ounce of success, you're going to do well in this league. And I think that's what they managed to tap into with this kid. Look, we all know across the board mechanically, he's not the best quarterback in the world. He has flaws all over the place. But at the same time, the team wins for him. The team wants to do well for him. They've gotten into some really good situations, as you mentioned before. You know, they've taken advantage of some opportunities that have been presented to them. But really, the bottom line for me is the guys want to play hard for him. The guys like him, and they're managing to pull off these victories.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that he hasn't made plays. Obviously, he has. I just look, when you really look into when you really break down these games, it's really pathetic because it's been mostly the ineptness of the other quarterbacks who have allowed Denver to stay in these games, and their field goal kicker has been lights out for the most part, has made every single clutch kick. There's like they are five plays away from having five additional losses.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. At the same time, like I said, they are making those plays, and they're not going to get those. You know, chances are, when you look at Brady, you're not going to be able to get those same opportunities if you're the Denver Broncos. What Denver needs to do, they need to come out and they need to take advantage, last week aside for New England, they need to take advantage of the fact that the Patriots have been starting a little slow. I think if the Broncos come out, they run the ball consistently, and Belichick talked about that this week, that they display a real consistency when it comes to sticking to the run. They don't try and abandon it. They do what they do. You know pretty much what you're going to get when you play Denver, when you play Tebow, when you play that offense. You know, they're going to run the ball. They're going to run it consistently. If they get that second half lead, or if they're around there, you know, this is a really good running team, and they'll be able to control the tempo of the game. I think it's absolutely imperative for the Patriots to get up on this team early so that they can dictate the tempo. They can dictate the pace of this game. Then I think New England won't have any problems down the stretch. But again, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I certainly don't think it's going to be a blowout, but, you know, the Broncos are just talented enough in other areas to keep this one interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you make a lot of good points, and a lot of it I agree with. It's just that you talk about the Patriots starting off slow, but Denver always starts off slow.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, they're the ones that can't afford to give Tom Brady two or three extra possessions. The Patriots can get away with it, you know, if they start slow in this one. I believe this is the one game that they can get away with starting slow with. I don't expect that to happen, but, I mean, you never know. A crazy turnover here or there. I mean, you never know what can happen, but, Denver, to me, is a team that can't start off. So what I am going to be interested in, Chris, to see if you agree, I wonder if John Fox is going to change it up a little bit because of the Patriots secondary, the amount of yards they've given up, even though they're still only 14th in points allowed despite the last 2 weeks. I wonder if he's going to try and let this guy throw a little bit. I think that's going to be the great chess match in this game.
I do. I agree. I think they're going to throw a little bit more than they have in years past. But again, I honestly believe this Broncos team, you know, to coin the phrase, it is what it is. It really is. When you look at this Denver offense, you know, that's what they do. They're the best running team in the league. Like I said, Tebow can run the ball consistently. McGahee can run the ball consistently. They can move the chains by running the football in the second half. But I do think they are going to, I agree with you on that point. I do think they're going to throw the ball more often than they have. I don't think they're going to air it out. I mean, not talking about, you know, throwing 25, 30 times, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had 15 to 20 pass attempts for Tebow, which quite frankly is out of the ordinary for that offense.
And, you know, and let's not forget about the Denver secondary. They could be in some trouble this week also. Dawkins and Goodman both didn't practice today. You know, and people are talking about I think this Denver defense, I mean, they're in the bottom third in points allowed, which to me is one of the biggest stats. I'm not a big guy in net yardage. You've ever heard me. I don't care about net yardage. It doesn't mean anything to me for the most part. I think it's the most overrated stat in football, but points allowed means a lot to me. They're in the bottom third and they have gone up. They just have not come close to facing an offense like this. Not even remotely close. And the one decent team that they played, they got spanked by 35 points on the road. So I just think that the Broncos are going to have a tremendous uphill battle here. They have to play a near flawless game. And I'm not saying it's going to be 45-10, but I think the Patriots are going to win by double digits. And I think I just don't see the Broncos stopping this. I think the people are using the Broncos defense, I think, is a tad overrated. I've a lot overrated. If you look at the quarterbacks and the ineptness and a horrible coaching in some places and a bad running by guys like Barber have kept Denver in these games. I just think if you dig deep and look and break down all these games, I'm telling you, the MVP for the most part put the field goal kicker on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They should have had Marion Barber on the cover this year. This week it said the headline should have been "Idiot Denver squeaks by again." That's what it should have been.
I think the Patriots have the opportunity to win individual matchups. When you start breaking down the individual matchups, knowing on offense against the Denver defense, I think there are a lot of winnable matchups for the Patriots. And I'll start with Rob Gronkowski. He is an absolute matchup nightmare across the board. We saw that last week against Washington. He is too fast to be checked by a linebacker and too fast to be, or too big to be guarded really by a defensive back. And I think when you look at Denver, in their history and pass coverage, they're able to get after the quarterback consistently, but they're not really good when it comes to pass coverage, especially in the linebacking area. Between those numbers, there should be plenty of opportunities for New England to make hay between those numbers You look at Gronkowski, you look at Welker, you look at Hernandez, who's actually come on really well over the last couple weeks. It looks like he's completely over the knee injury. Yep. So in the passing game, if the Patriots are able to keep Tom Brady clean, if they're able to keep him free of Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, have another nice performance by those two tackles. I'm looking particularly at Nate Solder and Matt Light. I don't think Vollmer's going to be able to go on Sunday. But I think if you win those individual matchups, especially in the passing game, I think the Patriots have an excellent opportunity to come out of here with a really good win.
Well, again, we're talking with Chris Price from WEI.com, where I used to work. But I will tell you that let's talk about the secondary a little bit before I let you go. Devin McCourty, to me, the guy might be 68% at best. And I know I'm not making excuses for him because he has gotten torched. I think a lot of it with him, I think Ty Law brought it up on TV and maybe Troy Brown and some other analysts. But to me, a lot of it seems, Chris, instinctive. Just turn around, for God's sakes, and look up, and you'll at least deflect the ball or maybe get a pick or two, especially in that Indianapolis game. Where, you know, there were a couple of, I think it was Pierre Garçon. I mean, instinctively, you just see, he's only got about 3 feet before he goes out of bounds. Turn around. And you got it. How much of it is the injury that he's not 100%, and how much of it just not, as I think Ty Law was saying, following his instincts?
I think there's three things at play when you talk about McCourty. First of all, I think his confidence is low. And as you know, playing that position, almost, you know, 75% of it is confidence, that swagger. Being that individual guy out on the island, he got beat really badly first couple of games out of the gate, and I don't think his confidence is where it needs to be at this stage of the year. Second, you mentioned the injury, and I'm glad you bring that up. At the end of the Washington game, he was really banged up. That shoulder's really been bothering him.
Oh, his arm was dangling. His arm was dangling
exactly,
down
there. Yeah. And I think that affects his ability. I think that really affects his ability long-term. If you're asking him to go up against the premier receivers in this league, and I'm not just talking about this week with Denver, because you know Denver really doesn't have, like, you know, they don't really focus on a passing game, but when you ask him to go up week after week against guys like Vincent Jackson and, you know, Brandon Marshall, another premier receivers in this league, I don't know if physically he can be there right now, you know, especially when you look forward to the playoffs, when he's going to be facing premier wide receivers. I don't know if he is where he needs to be right now physically. And the third thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, and I've talked about it with Troy Brown as well as Ty Law a little bit, his mechanics right now. His mechanics appear to be a little bit messed up, especially in the hips. When it comes to turning those hips, getting in tune with a wide receiver and following him down the field, they're just not where they need to be. So those are the three things, really, at least right now, that stick out for me about McCourty. All those problems, though, and I've heard him talk about it, and I've heard other guys talk about it, they're all fixable. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not they'll be able to turn things around this year or next year, all those problems are fixable, particularly the confidence level. And I thought we saw a little bit of that in the tail end of that Washington game. He came on, he made a couple of big hits, broke up a couple of really nice passes, and did really well down the stretch. But, you know, whether that's going to be a sign of things to come, we don't know. But again, those three things for me, at least right now, are the things that stick out most about Devin McCourty.
Gut feeling. You think Patrick Chung is going to play again this year? Or what?
I do. I think he is going to play. I think right now it's a situation where they want to make sure he's 100% for the postseason. It's my understanding that he suffered a little bit of a setback because he kind of breezed through the locker room on Monday with a walking boot. And that was a bit of a surprise for us because he hadn't been in a walking boot before. That was a bit of a setback. So this foot injury, this foot injury has been a real problem for him this year. He suffered it in the late stage of the Giants game, and it just hasn't gotten better. He's actually been out on the field a couple of times between then and now, in warm-up, practicing, looking like he was going to be able to give it a go. So, again, it appears to be a bit of a setback, but I think he's going to be back for the postseason.
See, that's the way I look at it. I know people are somewhat panicking around, and I was talking, not that my producer Kevin was panicking, but I'm like, you know what? I just have a feeling because of the last four games down the stretch here, the level of competition they have.
Exactly.
I mean, if they were heading into the first round of the playoffs, I have a feeling he'd be out there.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, Pete, I'm glad you brought that up. You have to take the level of, you know, competition into consideration. If they're facing pass-heavy teams down the stretch, and they're in, you know, and they're in must-win games when it comes to, you know, landing a playoff spot or something like that, then I think you'd see Chung out there. But I think when you consider the level of competition and you consider the level of their passing ability down the stretch, these aren't, you know, I don't want to call them not must-win games, but You don't absolutely need Patrick Chung to win these games. You know, I think he's one of the best safeties, if not the best safety, that this team has had in the post-Rodney Harrison era. But he is not absolutely integral to this team down the stretch right now.
Christopher Price, thank you for your time at WEI.com. And you're on with Dale, right, in the pregame show still?
Yep,
right?
Both myself, Dale, Christian, and Troy.
Well, don't let Christian give any crap. Because he's full of it more than anybody. No, I'm just, I love Christian.
No worries, Pete. Hey, it's good to talk to you, man. Take care.
You tell the boys I said hello.
Definitely.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's that is Christopher Price of WEI.com. Check him out. He's all around the Patriots, obviously, and I believe he'll be in Denver, I believe. Good stuff. Good stuff. This is unbelievable. This just came in. It's just sick. Jesus. According to the league office in the NFL, Tim Tebow has now leapfrogged Bills quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick into, into the number three position among all AFC quarterbacks in fan Pro Bowl balloting. Tebow has 420,539 votes, more than Fitzpatrick, who has has almost 378,000. Tebow remains well behind Tom Brady and quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. You know what this is like? This is like Bucky Dent. Those of you who don't remember Bucky bleeping Dent in 78, and they'll hit the home run and the playoff against him. But people forget, like, 2 or 3 years after that, Bucky Dent was like, I think he even got a start in an all-star game. Maybe two. Over, like, Rick Burleson of the Red Sox and, Alan Trammell and some other guys. They were, you know, this is unbelievable. This is why... This is why a lot of people don't want fans voting for this stuff, because it's all a popularity contest. And yeah, I know, you know, the game is for the fans, and I get all that stuff. But you know, Tim Tebow now leapfrogs Ryan Fitzpatrick. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Stephen Denver, as one of the only non-Tebow fans in Denver and someone who sees through his facade, I'm begging the Pats to come in Denver and put an end to this madness. Stephen Denver. By the way, speaking of madness, we will hear in just a few minutes from, because I want to get some of these emails on Facebook, from Tim Tebow, who spoke early today with the media of New England. So we're definitely going to hear that, because that just got done about 10 minutes ago. Daryl says... Pete, for the love of God, can you please stop taking calls from Tyrone from Delaware? I swear I feel myself getting stupid every time I have to listen to him. So I'll sum up every single word on one of his calls for you. Yo, 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 we're going to be one and done in the playoffs because I... Seriously, Pete, he calls every show. I can't stomach his negativity. If he wants to hate on a team, they'll let him go root for the Jags or something. No, he doesn't hate on them. He doesn't hate on them. Let's see. More email. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PeteShepard. Let's see, who's this from? Alonzo says, hey, Pete, like always, I love your show. Your passion this week has been awesome. Now let's get Tebow all out of the way. I really do like the guy a lot and wish him success. Now let me stop you right there. I agree. I don't wish the guy to fail. I do this week, but he's a good guy. I mean, he's good for the league. Let's move on. I don't know if he will have a future in the NFL, but what is transpiring, whether it's because of him, no, is good for the game. As a Christian, I do like hearing people thank Christ as often as possible because I believe in life we forget to thank him whenever possible. But in this instance, I just can't stand the media blowing everything out of proportion, but unfortunately that's what they do. You're 100% right there. Now for the game. What I fear is not necessarily the past record of the Patriots versus the Broncos, but of the slow starts the Patriots have demonstrated recently. I know that the Broncos are not the best defense, but they are riding high. If the defense and offense can just dictate tempo and keep it close going into the middle of the third quarter, then I fear this game. That clip you just played of those idiots laughing just pisses me off. I hope Brady and company beat the crap out of the Broncos. Spoken like a true Christian. I love it. Gene in Daytona says, I beat in Kevin last week when Vince jumped on the fumble in the end zone. I saw one of the smartest plays this year. You wonder why Bill goes for smart character people. I can see why the ball was on the goal line and Tracy White was boxed out from the ball by a Redskin and reached around the Redskin player and knocked the ball away from him and back into the end zone. Vince fell on it for the touchdown. Do you remember that play? I watched over and over on NFL Rewind. You're absolutely correct. It was a very, very smart play. Nick McDonald has not made one bad snap and has made all the blocking calls like a veteran. You're right, Pete. This kid has been impressive. I thought Hidalgo and McCourty playing hurt the way they were has been courageous to me. All this criticism is not warranted. We do not know the whole story with these guys. Unbelievable. Good email, Gene. Good email. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. And Where's Dickie Eklund? Well, let's go to it. Hi, Dickie. You're up here next on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Where are you from?
I'm from Southie.
Oh, Southie. Oh, all right. Because it's yeah. Okay. It just said usually it's the first name and where you're from. It has your whole name up here.
Oh yeah. It's Dickie Southie.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Tim Tebow.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to crush him. Because Tom Brady, you know, he's a wicked pisser quarterback. And I just think they're going to take down Tim Tebow as a little girl on prom night, you know?
Sure they will. Absolutely. Let's go to a Doc in Seattle, Washington. Doc, you're up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Pete? Yeah, Doc, how are you?
I just listened to you. I download the podcast now, and I just listened to yours from yesterday.
Thank you so much, my friend. It was
forgive
much.
Me if this is, no, I was just saying, forgive me, this is all news. On the whole Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady thing,
sure.
Ed wanted to talk to you because on another post-game show, one of the unnamed guys, not the Patriots one,
yeah,
was talking about how predicting Bill O'Brien would have to be fired, and I nearly leaked through my computer.
Well, I couldn't remember which one. I couldn't remember what show brought it up. All I know is I heard one sports talk show host on a post-game show, I seriously don't remember who it was, said, who is Bill O'Brien to question anybody on the Patriots?
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
That is really, again, I don't know, you know, he's a coach.
Well, you know,
he's a professional coach. I mean, you wouldn't say that about any team. I mean, like, it didn't make any sense to me. I thought it was a very, very immature comment.
Well, I think he's stirring the pot to get people to call in and people to get angry, and, you know, that's ratings. I understand that. But I think what a lot of people forget, and, you know, they criticize Brady for his reaction, is this just happened. Now, if any people who, like, say, follow curse words, the minute something goes wrong, people are typing a million comments and swearing and going nuts. I can understand Brady in those few seconds of realizing I may have lost the game here.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably upset. And, you know, he acted out. And it happened, and then he calmed down. And I think Bill O'Brien was defending a player and giving his own opinion. And this happens, as they say,
it happens all
the time.
And we just don't see it here a lot. That's why. And, I mean, Tyquan Underwood, I mean, it wasn't the worst interception I've ever seen Brady throw, and I'm sure he wouldn't throw that pass again. And maybe if Tyquan was a more experienced receiver, maybe he might have made could have possibly made a better effort, maybe. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But, look, I understand why Brady was upset, and I think Bill O'Brien was coming to the defense of one of his rookie wide receivers. I think it was the right thing to do. It's water under the bridge, and, you know, that's that, and that'll be that, and that's the end of that. I don't think it's going to have any effect on this team whatsoever.
Well, you know, we have to create confidence.
Of course, of course.
All of that.
Of course.
Now getting to his anointed savior, Tim Tebow.
Well, you're a lot you're closer out there in Washington than we are over here, so has it trickled down to Seattle, or are they still talking about the Seahawks making a possible run for the wild card?
I actually bypassed the stadium. I stayed away from it this Monday because I was like, I normally go on a bike ride, and I was like, oh, let's not go there. Rams and Seahawks, this should just be, I don't even want to deal with the crazy drunk.
Yep.
But, I was outside the stadium last year when they beat the Saints because I was just waiting to leave so to go watch a game at a bar. Mm-hmm. And they were stunned. I mean, you know, I said, I know that look. That was 2004, game five, game six. What? You know, and they're like, we didn't. So anyway, in defense and against him, I think one of the problems that you picked up, and actually John Rook's show yesterday, they had a nice caller from Denver brought up, was there is the implication that there's a greater power that cares more about me getting a parking space, getting a home run, you know, scoring a touchdown than, say, kids at Dana-Farber. Mm-hmm. And I think that bothers people.
Yep.
As for Tebow, yes, 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 and he does kind of put it in your face. He writes it on his face.
Yep.
And I've been waiting, maybe a Patriots linebacker will put 666 on it.
Yeah, well, they don't let him do it. He can't write it on his face anymore. They don't let him do it. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there
mm-hmm.
you go. He doesn't advertise it as much. And now, if you remember, last year there was a big brouhaha about him doing an advertisement. I don't want to turn your show into a
no,
debate on abortion and death penalty and all that. You already got people sending you Bible quotes. I actually liked his ad, and I disagree with his opinion. But he had a right to have an opinion.
Yep.
He has the right to express
absolutely.
He also had the right to say he's a dunderhead for having that opinion.
Yep.
But, again, I think I have to agree with, and I wish I could give credit to the commentator, I think from EEI, who said, this is kind of a media creation.
Because it
stirs things up.
And I've been saying that. I mean, I think anybody who's followed, been at works in the media, I mean, I feel bad for Tim Tebow this week. I really do, because I'm, you know, the criticism I have of his game are well-documented, and the criticisms I have of his team are well-documented. I just broke down, you know, 8 games in a row about how fraudulent a lot of these wins are if it wasn't for their field goal kicker and a couple of corner picks. But this is not his fault this week. From a Patriots perspective, I am glad, because they are not talking about the Patriots very little. 10%, 90% of it's all about Tim. And all I can say is when the bleep hits the fan and he goes down, and there's a good chance he's going to go down hard this week. And even if he doesn't, sooner or later he's going to. That's when you find out about professional athletes and teams, is when things are going poorly. Like I said, the Patriots lost back-to-back games, and since then, the last 5 games, they've averaged more points than the first 5 games. But if I go back and replay shows from the 2 back-to-back losses, you would have thought they were never going to score 30 points again. And I tried to tell people that if you just look at the defenses they had played that particular month, to relax, calm down, they can't put up 34 points every single game and win the perfect way every single week. No team can. But if you look back now, the last 5 weeks, they've averaged more points, and you know what a juggernaut they were in the first 5 weeks. So they've averaged more points the last five.
After those 2 losses, I called you on this. You know, we're going to have a losing season. You know, we're going to lose to the Jets and da-da-da. One question I'll ask you on this, because I had a discussion with a Chicago fan.
Yeah.
We watched the Chicago debacle. That was a joke. And I think from watching some of the teams, and, you know, sacrificing to Satan to make Tebow lose. Sorry, just kidding. But I've seen it looks like teams choke, and I wonder if they go in there. All credit to Tebow in Denver. Remember Tom Brady had this, you know, you give him the ball with seconds to go in the fourth quarter, you're going to lose the game, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't 2 for 8.
Well, that's true.
Or three for 16 like he was in Sunday's game.
But didn't it look like Chicago played not to lose? I mean, I sat there, and I mean, they just needed a first, you know, first.
No, they played that. No, because playing not to lose would just mean maybe running the ball or something, or throwing it when they should have been running it, or vice versa.
Yeah.
They just played stupid, and it's not even play. It's Barber. Well, all he has to do is go. The announcer said the game's over, and it was.
Yeah.
All he had to do was stay in bounds, and the game is over.
Yeah.
So it's bad enough he goes out of bounds. And then he fumbles in Denver territory. He was like a half a step away from breaking that for a 45-yard touchdown run.
Yep.
Instead, he fumbles. And then here comes Prater again to bail their sorry asses out with a 51-yarder. It's unbelievable.
It reminded me, what was it, 2 years ago when the only way Buffalo could win a game, the only way Buffalo could lose a game to the Patriots was if they were dumb enough to catch the ball in the end zone. Let the kickoff go in the end zone, and they take a knee and win the game.
Absolutely,
screaming onside kick. And for those who forget, guy catches in the end zone. Fine, he's going to take a knee. No, he decides to run it out.
Okay, and who got you? Was it Troy Brown who made that, who forced that? And then, if you remember, Troy Brown back in the San Diego game back in 2006 when the Patriots stole that one. I mean, again, all they got to do is go down and not try to be a hero, run the clock out. But instead, they try to be a hero. Troy Brown strips the ball. Patriots go on to win. And, you know, they should have won that Super Bowl, too, but not for starting Eric Alexander. It's amazing. But, you're right. But those are actually, Rashay Caller made a great catch in the San Diego playoff game. I'll give him that.
Then he made
a big drop in the AFC Championship. But
I know.
But,
you know, the sad thing is, like, we all forget how Bill Buckner got us to the 86 series, and he's not.
I agree. And people, it's a great point, because people who don't understand. I just hear Bill Buckner. I've never watched, didn't see the 86 team. Don't realize Bill Buckner carried that team. And people also forget they had a pretty good lead over the Yankees in Baltimore in the first half. And they went on a bad losing streak coming out of the All-Star break. They lost like 6 out of 7. And Buckner was the only one, and Clemens were the only ones that were doing anything at that time.
Exactly.
Clemens was winning, and Buckner carried that team the last 5 weeks of the season without a doubt. He was an integral part of that team. But, you know, we digress.
Well, Pete, you know, sports is in a way a religion, and one of the reasons we get so angry. Here's our pick. Okay, if you pick it, I want to hear you tell me that the Patriots are going to win. If you tell me the Patriots lose, that's bringing the possibility they're going to lose, and that goes against my faith. Therefore, I must yell at you and condemn you.
Yeah,
and that's, we see that with Fred and Eric and all, and they teach Fred with that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they call
yeah.
him a homer and all
yeah.
this. And if he picks them to lose, like against the Jets, which like everybody did,
yeah.
right? Except for you, I think. And
hey, look, Freddie and I worked together for 11 years, 12 years, whatever it was on the post-game show. People forget there were many times over the years where we actually mm-hmm. did pick him to lose. And there were a couple times Freddie and I disagreed, a couple times I was right, a couple times he was right. But it does happen. But it's very hard to pick a team to lose over the last decade when they win like 86% of the time. You know, and sometimes
exactly.
it's very difficult because when you see the matchups and you see that coach and that quarterback and that offense for the most part, I don't care. I mean, usually when they lose, a lot of those losses, they beat themselves. I mean, there are exceptions, and there have been times where they've gotten their butts kicked. You go back to New Orleans a few years ago. Yeah, I mean, but yeah. even this year, the losses they've had this year, even as badly as it was in Pittsburgh with the time possession, all that stuff, they still
yeah.
had a chance at the
yeah.
end to tie that game. They still had a chance, and you know it wasn't meant to be. But I hope people don't think that they play the Steelers again, that particular scenario is going to come to fruition again. That will be a totally different game, I promise you.
Jets and Patriots, how soon we all forget. Oh,
yep.
We beat them by 4 billion points. We'll beat
yep.
them. Oh, well. You know, and as we've all been before,
yep.
had they not made certain critical mistakes during the playoff game, then, but, you know, everything's different.
Yeah,
I'll leave you with two thoughts. Since we brought up, you know, the sports hype, I recommend anyone who hasn't seen the ESPN special Catching Hell about the Bartman.
Yep.
Because I know Cubs fans. There are people who just believe that the last play of the World Series was Bill Buckner, and if he had made that play, they would have won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who believe that play
yep.
lost the, you know.
No, they don't remember Bob Stanley's wild pitch, the cross-up with Gedman. Now, he was going to be a slider or a fastball. That was, and the game was already tied. People have a very, they don't remember. They have short memories.
And they choked two leads. Well, the documentary is done by a Sox fan, and that's why he examines the Bartman, because he, you know, he lives through 86 and says everything that you're saying, and more of the listeners with that. But then wonders why people didn't remember all those other facts.
Well, the Bartman thing, what's hysterical about the Bartman thing is they forget Alex Gonzalez, who ended up coming here and being,
yeah.
you know, a great shortstop, maybe the best
exactly.
they've ever had. Alex
exactly.
Gonzalez botched a double play that should have ended the inning, and Bartman would have had nothing to do with it. And Gonzalez
absolutely.
Is the one screaming at him when Bartman, you know, and any fan would have done the same thing. It was unfortunate. That was not the reason why the Cubs lost. They freaking blew it, and Gonzalez should have had a double play in that game. End of story. But,
well, as fans and as one of the next ball player who's a commentator put it, goes, you know, we feel you lost it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we really do personalize it. And as you know, we're not part of the bleeping game. You know, we don't do anything.
Exactly.
We do that changes anything. I'll leave you that. And then one last question, then
yeah.
I'll let you
yeah.
go, obviously. I'm monopolizing more
no,
than
that's all right.
guy from Las Vegas. Is any fear, I like them. Any fear that the Tebow mystique, he always wins, to quote Michael Howard. He just wins.
Yeah.
And all of that
yeah.
is going to affect the Patriots, that if the game is still close, remember, every time those guys next to you predict a blowout, there always seems to be a close game with the Patriots.
Well,
is that going to affect the Patriots, do you think?
No, I don't think. I think all they care about is executing. That's all they care about. They are too emotionally detached from all that crap, whether
mm-hmm.
they're playing on the road, the weather, the opposing coach, the billboard material, God, Jesus, Tebow, they are not getting involved with all that stuff. I guarantee you, they are going out. They're going to have one thing, one mission to do on Sunday, and that is to become a wrecking machine. And I guarantee mm-hmm. you, Bill wants to put up 30 points in the first quarter. That's what he's going to want to do, and I think they're going to come out firing, and I don't think they're going to get off to a slow start, and I just think in the end they're going to bury him. And Tebow, I think Tebow's going to have at least one pick six in this game.
Mm-hmm.
One pick six in this mm-hmm. game at least, and then we'll see what happens when he plays a real team. This is the first real team he's played in the last eight games. We'll see. With a great offense and a great quarterback and a great coach. So we'll Absolutely. Find out. Patriots have been here many times before, faced this scenario many, many times. They faced it this year. There are people who didn't think they were going to go to Oakland this year and win. I kept telling people to calm down. Nobody gave them a chance against the Jets. They clobbered them. It's ridiculous when people line up against this team, and now the whole planet seems to be lining up against them. Good. I'm glad. Because look at the other scores throughout history when Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are out there. It ain't pretty for the most part for the other team. So,
well, then we can all talk about how they ran up the score, Pete.
Yeah, that's
thank
right.
You for letting me take your time and
my pleasure.
Everyone listening.
Thank all right, have fun in Seattle, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye, Doc in Seattle. Oh my goodness. Web radio me at web or email me webradio@patriots.com and Facebook me as well. Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. And yes, I have to get to all these emails and Facebook stuff as well. Let me start with the web radio stuff. Hey, Pete, thanks for reading. This is from Lucas. Thanks for reading my email yesterday. Just discovered your show. I ordered the I ordered the morons to stop repeating that the offense is carrying the defense. Offense scores, you tools. And yes, the basics is about your quarterback. It's disgusting to hear that our team wins only because Brady manages to score touchdowns. The whole point is to have a quarterback that can win. Enough with Tebow. Tebow, that guy sucks. He can't throw, and he's a first rounder. Enough with the Protestant showcasing, and thank the Lord, it's just dog poop. What's he trying to do? Turn the entire world population sectarian and backward? Catapult that guy into the fractal universe, or send high off with Sarah Palin to help herself going rogue. Go, Pete. Screw the moron fans, the mafia, media, and Tebow. I live in France, by the way, but I'm much more clever than Olivier. All right, that's one of the best ones we've had. That's fantastic. Let's see. Pete, Gene just wrote in about Tracy White's tap of the ball into the end zone this weekend. Can you clear something for me? If I'm not mistaken, that same type of play happened in the Steeler game with Palomalo tapping the Brady fumble into the end zone at the end of the game. That ended up being a safety. If memory serves, there was a lot of discussion over whether a punch of the ball by a defensive player can be used to advance the ball to the end zone to be recovered by for a touchdown. Clearly, as we saw this weekend, it can. Do you know the specifics of the rule? Yeah, well, what happened, Joshua, is what happened with Palomalo is the ball was, 15 yards outside the end zone. When Wilfork made the sack, if you remember, I've watched it several times. I mean, unless I'm blind, Wilfork made the sack. That ball came out in the end zone. That ball was down in the end zone. And if you listen to Dierdorf right away, the only thing he said was it's just a question of if it's going to be a safety or a touchdown. So it wasn't like the ball was outside the end zone that got punched back in. That ball was strip sacked in the end zone. So that's why, Joshua. Okay, that's 99.9% sure. That's why. I agree with you. Had that ball came out somewhat on the 2-yard line and Tracy White punched it back in, then you're absolutely correct. That rule would have come into play. But that was strip sacked in the end zone. And that's why White was able to kind of, you can kind of mess around with it while, as long as you're in the end zone, because he could have made a case about him trying to get the ball, and he might have even tried to get the ball and kind of went off his fingers. But that's the reason why. Let's see what else we got. Well, let's take a quick break. Then I'll come back, read my Facebook messages and more of the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We are cruising right along today. On the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. We're back for the final segment after this.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy £3 and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey, back here. Final segment for the Pete Shepherd Show. We're going to close it out in just a minute or two with the Tim Tebow's press conference. He had it earlier today, so I'm sure most of you did not hear it yet. So we'll close out the show with that. It's about 11 minutes long. We'll get to that. Just a minute. I want to read a couple of Facebook messages. Joshua says, Pete, first time listening to you since I heard you on WEI. Loving the show. Thank you, Joshua, so much. Max says, this game will either be a 30-point win for the Patriots or a 3-point win for the Broncos. Interesting. Steve says, hey, Pete, great passion. I look at the Broncos like my sister-in-law. She's somebody who was raised in this new generation where everybody wins and nobody is called a loser. Oh, please. Their heads get too big, and they believe they become incredibly invincible, that when failure comes around, they fall hard, and they fall hard. It's like watching one of those joke lotto tickets that tell you you've won 10 grand. Once you read the back and everybody's laughing, all you want to do is die. After we destroy the Denver Tebows this weekend, they could very well end up losing the rest of their games, considering they realize just how human and vulnerable they really are. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I agree, and I don't blame Tebow for this. I don't think they're mouthing off. All they're doing, for the most part, they're not giving Patriots bulletin board material or anything like that. They're just talking about how, you know, there's will to win, all that stuff, and it's great, and for now, and again, as I said, and not going to go through it all again, you look at how the teams they played, the quarterbacks, if you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast after the show, and I broke it all down. This is a pretty, to me, it's a pretty fraudulent Denver team, to be honest with you, these last 8 weeks. It really is. And like I said, the guy should be on the front of the Sports Illustrated this week should be Matt Prater, their field goal kicker. He's the one that has been so clutch for them and really saved them in, you know, four games. And the ineptness of and the horrible offenses they have gone up against, and the horrible quarterbacks and the bad coaching decisions and the bad Marion Barber type of decisions, that has been the reason why the Patriots, for the most part, have won. For the Patriots, the Broncos have won these games. Yeah, Tebow's made a play here or there, but it has been so much more than him. So much more than him. All right, I also want to remind everybody, before we get to Tim Tebow's press conference, and remind everybody tonight, charity poker event coming up. It's the Wednesday weekly deep stack, $25 satellites at 6 o'clock, $90 main event at 7:15. So basically, it's you're going to get $20,000 in chips. An extra $10 donation gets you 5,000 chips. So 20,000 chips for $100. The first 20 players play a free satellite, one per player. It's at the American Legion Post 18155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham, right behind the Tahiti restaurant across from the VFW. Hope to see you there, 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham. My buddy Craig Bradford of Helping Hands Poker does a great job, and not sure what the charity is tonight, but it's all legal, all that stuff. Great food, free food will be there, and very reasonably priced drinks of all kinds. So come on by. It's a great, if you're a poker fan, come on by. That being said, let's get back to, first I'm going to sign off, and I'll be back tomorrow. Now, I remember Brian Lowe, B-Lowe, comes up tomorrow with the Patriots Fantasy Football Lowdown. That coming up in the first hour. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Jeff Legwald of the Denver Post will join me. And we'll get into more of the hype for the Pink Hat Bowl coming up on Sunday at 4:15. Anyway, that's going to do it. Thanks to Kevin for producing this whole thing. I leave you. And thank you to Christopher Price for joining me from WEIA.com today, and all the emailers and all the people who called in. Here is Tim Tebow about a half hour ago with his conference call to the media.
The most about this Patriots defense?
Well, they're a very good defense. Obviously, very well coached from Coach Belichick. Got a lot of playmakers. They create a lot of turnovers. Been getting to the quarterback a lot, and just find a way to make big plays and keep teams from getting in the end zone. Might give up a little yardage here and there, but they always stand stout in the red area and find a way to come up with some big plays.
You had a pre-draft visit with Coach Belichick that he talked a little bit about over the last couple of days. What did you take out of that, and how did that all go down?
Well, one, it was just a great opportunity, to get to know a great coach, and in all those opportunities, but pre-draft when I went to meet with teams and organizations, I know they were trying to get a feel for me, but I was also definitely trying to learn something each and every visit, and just to be around, Coach Belichick and all the great coaches there in New England, I felt like it was a great opportunity to try to learn. So I tried to take as much as I possibly could and, learn, from a great coach, one of the best to coach. And, it was a phenomenal opportunity for me. And, I'm very grateful they're even that interested in me.
What were you able to learn?
What's that? I'm sorry.
What were you able to learn during that meeting?
Well, I think it was just picking up a lot of different things, just from how certain things, how they go about it, different things he's looking for, and You know, just a lot of little things, you know, that you just try to pick up as a player, you know, from demeanors to attitudes to, you know, certain things from fundamentals. So I think it was just a great opportunity to learn a lot, and I feel like I really did.
Did your impression of him change once you met him? Like, how did you guys interact? Because he has this, obviously you both have kind of preconceived notions about you guys that people get from TV.
I actually had the pleasure of first meeting him when he came to Florida early on, maybe my freshman or sophomore year, something like that. And then, you know, he came down to Gainesville and worked me out with with Hernandez and Spikes and Cooper, and a bunch of us worked out for him. And so, you know, that was a fun day and a pleasure. And then they brought me up after that. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to be around him quite a bit. And, you know, what an opportunity to be around a great coach.
Tim, you mentioned Hernandez. Why did you guys click so well in college?
Well, Hernandez is a great player, and he makes any quarterback he's with look a lot better. And he's just, you know, phenomenal player, and you know, exciting to play with, and you know, a great guy and a great teammate and a competitor, and one of those guys when you need competitive excellence and you need someone to step up and make a big play. He's always ready and willing, and I was just proud of him for what he's done as an NFL player and what he did, with me at Florida. And, he's just, he's a guy that, I definitely miss being around, but I'm happy for his success.
Tim, are you expecting to see something different, something you've never seen before this week with Belichick at the helm with the Patriots and their defense?
Well, you can see a lot of things. You know, they can provide a lot of different looks. They, they're very well coached. And so I think, a big thing for us is just being able to adjust to whatever they bring. And whatever they show us, and being able to make Coach McCoy and Coach Goose will have a good game plan, but it'll definitely be key to see how they come out and play us and adjust to it.
How often have teams used a spy against you?
What, can you say that again?
How often have opposing teams used a spy defender, like assigning one defensive back or linebacker this year on you? How much have you seen that?
Well, it's, on and off. Different teams have done it for certain plays, on and off. And so I think it's something you have to be ready for. But, if they do, it opens up, somebody else, and that's always a good thing.
Tim, what in the world happens to you in the fourth quarter?
I just think that, I'm just blessed to have great teammates and great coaches. And in those fourth quarters, they just make me look a lot better than I am. And, I just, thank the Lord that we've had the opportunity to pull a few of these ones out.
Is there a way you can sort of learn on this and go back and maybe even, study what's happening in the fourth quarter and use it to translate? Like, is there some way you can sort of use that going forward?
Well, I think, I think definitely to understand what we've done well, what I've done well, what I've done bad, and not only from the fourth quarter but the whole game, and really try to learn from all of it. And that's something that I really try to do, is look at my film and our film and see what I've done and how I can get better, and the different things that maybe I did well or maybe I didn't do so well, and how I can translate that into improving. And that's something I really work hard at.
With the ride that you've been on the past 8 or so weeks, does the start of the season seem like a lifetime ago? When you were down on the depth chart, they were trying to figure out what to do, and then all of a sudden, it just seems like a completely different scenario you're in right now.
Well, I guess some of it does feel like a little while ago. It definitely has been a little bit of a whirlwind, but it's been a lot of fun. And, it's been, I think, just the most special part about it is just, having teammates that you respect and care about and go out there and play for them, and that's been exciting. And I feel like, our chemistry and our camaraderie is getting better every single week, and I think that's something special.
You have very few professional athletes receive as much attention as you have over the last two, or as early in their career as you have over the last 2 years. A lot of it's been very positive, a lot of it's been extremely negative. How have you been able to handle all of that?
Well, I've honestly done my best to try to just stay clear of it and not pay too much attention, not listen to too much of it. It's obviously hard when, it's hard to get that far away from it. But, I just something I learned, when I was, pretty young at Florida, was just not to worry about what I can't control, and that's something that I can't control. So, I think my biggest focus is every day, trying to be the best teammate, trying to honor the Lord with how I play and how I live, and, trying to work to be a better quarterback, better teammate, be focused, have a great attitude, and that's really been my outlook on everything, and not necessarily what people are saying about me. And, thank the Lord that I don't have to live the roller coaster that other people say about my life. So that's a good part.
Would you say your faith is stronger now because of everything you've gone through this year and your rookie year last year?
I don't know. That's a good question. First time I've been asked that. I'm not sure. I hope so. I pray that it is, because I think in whatever you're going through in your life, you continue to grow as a person in your faith. And for me as a Christian, trying to, grow closer to the Lord and, continuing, to try to strengthen my faith. And, one way you definitely strengthen your faith is, through obstacles, through adversity. There's definitely been some of that, and so that definitely strengthens your faith. And then also something that strengthens your faith is sometimes when you have praise or things go good, is how to handle it. And I think for me, one of my biggest prayers is win or lose, good or bad, is that I'm the same guy. I honor the Lord either way. I treat people the exact same, and, I'm not changing, no matter what happens. I think that's one of my biggest prayers.
Your career started off somewhat similar to Tom Brady's. Is he a guy that you looked at, in high school and in college coming up?
Is Tom Brady a guy that I looked at in high school or college growing up?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Yeah, your career has started off somewhat similar.
Yes, Tom Brady is definitely a guy that I've watched for a long time and respected. And, he's going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. And, I consider it a huge honor to have the opportunity to play against him. And it's something that's very exciting for me. I've watched him play for a long time. I've watched a lot of his cut-ups. I have, tried to learn from him. And he's someone that handles himself very well, and that, just handles his offense extremely well and is just does so many things so well as a quarterback. And, he's a great guy to try to watch and learn from. And, he's been one of the best in the league for a long time. And, I think that's someone great for me to look at and try to learn from.
Tim, one thing that Robert Kraft said yesterday was that he likes that you're about spirituality, and he likes that the country is thinking about spirituality maybe more now than it did before. What do you think when you hear a comment like that?
Well, I respect Mr. Kraft very much and had the opportunity to meet him, and that was definitely a pleasure for me. And I feel if that is true, I take that as a huge honor. I feel if I could be a good role model, if I could make faith something cool, having a relationship with Christ something cool, then I think that would be awesome. I think my biggest, one of my biggest prayers, more so than scoring touchdowns or winning games, is to try to be a great role model for the next generation and someone that, always puts, my faith first and, no matter what, and someone that is hopefully, a player, an athlete that parents can look at their kids and say, that's someone that's trying to do it the right way. He doesn't always, he messes up, but he always, tries to give credit to the Lord. He always works as hard as he can, and he's trying to do the best that he possibly can. And I think that's something that I'm definitely working on.
Did you have an athletic role model? And if so, who was that?
I looked to a lot of people, growing up. Obviously my dad, different coaches, but as a player, as a football player, I definitely looked up to Danny Werfel growing up because, he was someone that had a whole lot of success in college, and he was very humble with it, and he always, gave a lot of glory to the Lord, and he handled himself very well. And I also really looked up to Emmitt Smith, one, because he was a Gator, but also because he was one of the best running backs of all time. And, I actually grew up a Cowboys fan, so I loved watching him, and that was, those are two people that I loved watching, I really looked up to.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
All right, thank y'all so much, guys.
Pete Shepard.
Pete Shepard.
The Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.